All right, DNAO, thank you, you shitbird. It's your pal, Pampanea. I'll tell my tale. I'm fine with it. We're going to start right here in Market Square with this weird bullseye here in the center. It always seemed to me to be too easy for like an old school villain to drop a bomb out of a blimp or one of those little biplanes or something. What? Am I wrong? I didn't think so. All right, my tale. There was this guy, Richard, who was a judge. The Honorable Richard Chinstrup. Top of his class in law school kind of guy. Great arguer, constant student of the law. Over the years, he worked his way up to become a high court judge. He was tall, too thin, a little stooped, kind of a sallow complexion. Big, bony head. Bachelor, bit of a loner. Company in general, women in particular, made him nervous. He was very attracted to women, but they made him nervous. But finally, late middle age, he decided he wanted a wife. A companion. Someone to discuss cases with over dinners. Someone to squire, he liked that word, to society dinners and the opera and the touring Broadway musicals he liked. He'd seen Les Mis 6 times. A little guiltily, he tended to sympathize with Javert. He had a very comfortable existence. He felt he had a lot to offer a woman, but he was nervous. She had to be the right woman, one he could deal with. Fortunately, he thought, he knew just the woman. Her name was Brianna. She was one of his clerks who'd also been his favorite student in a class he taught at one of the local law schools. She revered him for his encyclopedic knowledge of the law, and she was grateful to him for his encouragement. He liked having her around because she was an efficient clerk and dedicated to him. And she had a great body. She really filled out a suit. But she didn't seem to know it. She wore her dirty blonde hair up, horn-rimmed glasses, little or no makeup. She went to the gym for at least an hour every day because she thought she was plump. And, for the endorphins, classic, right? She dated very little. She thought she was boring, and she was generally bored. Men. She thought about women for a minute, but not her thing. Consequently, she had little or no sex life, and she really wanted one. The Honorable Rich had his sights set on Brianna. He started taking her out to dinner a couple of times a week to the best restaurants in the city. He lavished on her with the food and the wine, the full depth of his knowledge of the law. After 3 or 4 months of this, he bought her an elegant and very expensive watch, which he gave to her at one of the dinners. She was surprised and moved. When they parted that night, she gave him a kiss. He almost fell over. After 6 or 7 months, more dinners and more kisses, strict professionalism in the court and office, of course, he brought to one of their dinners a diamond ring, a rock. She was dazed by the direction her life had taken and said, "Yes, Your Honor." They had a June wedding, close colleagues and immediate family. On the wedding night, the Honorable Rich was more than nervous. During their courtship, the kissing had once or twice brought him to the verge of panic. Now, he switched off the light and slid into bed with his new wife. She was immediately in his arms, pressing herself on him. He felt all of her, how young and vital she was, how hot she was. Okay. I'm not gonna go into graphic detail. Yeah, no, I saw you worrying.
He's old.
He found himself, all too quickly, on the verge of panic. All too soon he was, how can I say it, diminished. "I abjectly apologize, my dear," he said soothingly. "You know I'm not a young man. I suppose it's been a long day." "Oh, it's all right, Your Honor," said Brianna, smiling. "It has been a long day." She kissed him. "Well, let's sleep. We'll resume in the morning." In the morning, he was awakened by her kisses. He could see her whole body clearly. He remained diminished. He did his dutiful best that morning to please her by other means. Her response to those means was tremendous. A heat wave and a tidal wave. Her beautiful body shaking the bed, clutching at him, twining around him. He feared he was losing himself. He was sure he'd touched oblivion. So, The Honorable Richard Chinstrup and Mrs. Brianna Chinstrup had their marriage. For a while, months, their relationship in court and office remained the same. It was weird. And the Honorable Rich did his best to be a good husband in every way he could. He bought Brianna beautiful things. He squired her. They had rich discussions. See what I did there? But when it came time for bed, dread and awkwardness arrived and planted themselves like a couple of dark banners stirring in a listless breeze. How's that for a simile, Loretta? Huh?
Ugh.
Whatever. The Honorable Rich stayed up late reading, so he came to bed after Brianna was asleep. Or he pleaded tiredness and went to bed early, sneaking a pill so he fell asleep before Brianna came up. He had several colds and sore throats during those months. He revealed to his wife a superstition he had about activity on the night before a new case was to open or a big case was to close. Once a month or so, he would do his best to perform his husbandly duty, to keep Brianna off his case. He was only minimally capable, so he got another kind of pill and took that. But he soon confirmed what he'd known all along, that his physical capability wasn't the main prod or the problem. Even when hole would rise, or his gavel would stand, or however you want to put it, he panicked. When Brianna's body surrounded him, and that's how he felt lost, and he was sure he would die. He was greatly distressed by this, because he liked having Brianna as his wife. It helped him to have her with him in so many ways. He was pretty sure he loved her. When Brianna tried to talk to him about their problem with physical intimacy, the Honorable Rich squirmed inside and felt little pokes and prods of fear. He told her he'd been a bachelor for a long time. It was a period of adjustment for him, for both of them.
Oh, please be patient with me, my dear, he said.
Brianna found that her long-held admiration for the Honorable Rich was eroding, because she began to recognize his excuses and stalling. She started going to the gym for at least 2 hours a day. She felt like a failure. She felt unloved and deceived. She didn't feel at home anywhere. And she was horny as hell, which made her sulky, which made her dislike herself. Oh, wait, wait. Any of you jags mind if I smoke? I like smoking and talking.
Yes, we do.
I mind.
What? Really? You all mind?
Uh-huh.
Fine, shitbirds. Worry about your lungs.
Well.
One unusually warm, like climate change warm, Sunday in May, Brianna was feeling especially sulky. She was strongly disliking herself. She wanted to do something about it. When the Honorable Rich made it downstairs about noon and saw his young wife, he had an apprehension of trouble. I've had a thought, my dear, he said brightly, then cleared his throat. Let's get ice cream. All right, Richard, said Brianna, glowering at him. She was wearing a yellow sundress, the blousy skirt of which came down to about mid-thigh. She put on her prescription sunglasses. She walked slowly out to the car. On the drive to the ice cream stand, she didn't say a word. She had the top three buttons of her dress undone, and she'd hitched her skirt up when she slid into the car seat. The Honorable Rich glanced nervously sideways at her. He was sure she was provoking him somehow. He felt confused, nauseated, and the first little pokes of fear. At the ice cream stand, Rich got a small cup of vanilla, and Brianna got a scoop each of vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry on a waffle cone. They went to the picnic table beside the stand. Richard shuffled into the bench and sat down. Brianna stepped up onto the bench, pivoted, and sat on the tabletop with her feet on the bench, her bare legs beside Rich's face.
Oh, dear, why don't you sit down here on the bench beside me? He said, shifting over a bit.
That's okay, Brianna drawled and licked the scoop of strawberry on top. They ate their ice cream in silence. When the Honorable Rich had finished his cup of vanilla, he excused himself to use the facilities. Brianna went on sitting on the picnic table, eating her ice cream. She was about halfway through the scoop of chocolate. Now, listen, this is the point where our tale takes a turn. There was, in the tri-state area, a large motorcycle gang called the Gateway Neo-Pagans. Their leader was a character named Nino D'Estrada, known throughout the tri-state area as Pagan Nino. Nino was clever, charismatic, and physically imposing. Sculpted body, artful tattoos, long, thick, wavy black hair. That Sunday afternoon, Pagan Nino and a couple of his boys were riding past the ice cream stand
when Nino caught sight of Brianna on the picnic table, eating her ice cream in her light yellow dress, with her toned and shapely legs on display. Nino pulled into the gravel lot, skidded to a stop, and hopped off his bike. He walked up to Brianna. She put her sunglasses on top of her head and stood up on the bench, dropping her ice cream cone.
Madonna,
said Nino and stepped to Brianna as she stepped off the bench. He swept her into his arms and onto the back of his motorcycle.
I never got to the vanilla, Brianna thought as they sped away.
The Honorable Rich came out of the facilities just in time to see his wife, yellow dress and bare legs, speeding away on the back of a motorcycle. Peg and Nino brought Brianna to the Gateway Neo-Pagans compound. Not some scuzzy clubhouse, but a real compound. Spacious and comfortable living quarters for all. An Olympic-sized swimming pool. Nino and Brianna stood on either side of the living room in Nino's quarters, breathing hard, looking at each other.
Is this... am I... what are you...
said Brianna, registering her rapid heart rate.
I don't know what...
Sure you do,
said Nino, then grinned and shrugged.
I think you do.
Brianna turned away from him and looked out the window.
That's a big swimming pool, she said.
Let's go for a swim, said Nino.
I thought you'd never ask.
I'll find you a suit.
I don't need a suit.
She went out to the pool, threw off her dress and underthings, and dove in. Nino followed her out, took off his things, and dove in after her, and... you know, they made love in the pool. Then they got out and went inside and made love in the shower. Then they made love in Nino's big round bed. Then they made love in the shower again. Then they joined the rest of the gang for the traditional communal Sunday dinner. So what? Said Luigi, the gang mechanic, to Nino. You ransoming her? What's up? What's the deal?
I'm not sure yet, said Nino, eyeing Brianna. It's probably up to her, but I think she's my fate.
And he got up from the long table. Brianna got up at the same time he did. They took each other's hand and went inside to his big round bed and made love all night long. And Brianna responded with heat waves and tidal waves time and time again.
Yes, she did.
It's my tale, all right. A girl can dream. By the way, this is the point where I'd have another cigarette. Meanwhile, the Honorable Richard Chinstrap reached out to his contacts in law enforcement. In a day or two, they informed Rich of where Brianna was and of who she was with. He wanted a full-on raid on the compound, but was reminded that, as far as anybody knew, no crime had been committed. He'd received no ransom note or demands of any kind. Maybe she's just run off, Rich, said one of his contacts. Hate to break it to you. Rich decided to drive to the compound himself and get his wife back. He couldn't bear any longer what he finally realized was heartache. And he fully believed in his argumentative abilities. So he drove out of the city, past the ice cream stand, to the GNP compound. He was admitted to Paganino's living room and to the presence of that imposing and dangerous-looking personage.
Mr. D'Estrada, said Rich, thank you for seeing me.
Call me Nino, said Nino.
Nino, thank you, said Rich.
Nino, I have to ask you, have you kidnapped my wife? Are you holding her against her will?
No, said Nino, to both questions. I believe she's my fate. I saw Brianna and she saw me. I don't know if it was love at first sight, but it was definitely fate. And with fate, there was only first sight.
Nino, I want to appeal to your reason, said Rich in his best persuasive tone.
I don't want to argue with you, Your Honor, Nino said. Brianna's out by the pool. Give it your best shot. I'm good with what she wants.
Rich found Brianna sitting on the side of the huge pool with her feet in the water. She wore a string bikini the color of apricots. Rich's heart skipped a beat and he felt a little prod of fear. Brianna took her sunglasses off and put them on top of her head.
Hello, Richard, she said. Sit down. You should take your blazer off. It's hot out here.
He took off his navy blazer and sat down awkwardly at the end of the nearby Chase Lounge. Squinting a little in the hot sun, he looked at her. He felt all of his heartache.
My dear, dear Brianna, he said. Please come home with me. I offer you a very good life, you know that, full of many of the most important and enjoyable things in life, the legitimate things in life, the things that give you the most fulfillment you can expect in life. You are the greatest of these things in my life.
I love you. You know that. Please come home with me now.
I don't want to argue with you, Richard, said Brianna.
No one wants to argue with me, was Rich's fleeting thought.
I'm not coming with you, said Brianna. I'm staying here with Nino. I don't know really whether or not you love me, no matter what you say. You wouldn't talk to me about what was going on with you, and when I tried to talk to you about what was going on with me, you wouldn't let me. Instead, you bought me a bracelet and took me to see Phantom of the Opera. I give myself to Nino, and he takes me, and in taking me, he gives himself to me. It's a revelation.
She took her sunglasses from the top of her head and set them on the deck. Then she slid into the pool and swam away. Rich stood up and put on his blazer. He walked around the living quarters to his car, not wanting to encounter Nino again. He drove back to the city in a daze. In the months that followed, the Honorable Rich became more nervous in company than ever before. His opinions from the bench became practically incoherent. One afternoon, his new clerk found him on the floor of his office. She called for help, but before it arrived, the Honorable Rich was dead. As far as I, the teller of the tale, know, Brianna and Paganino are still together. Still got the old give and take going. And Brianna has become the gang's lawyer. Tale told, all right? Now, I need a cigarette, so I will meet all of you in Mellon Square Park, where Panfilo will be telling his tale. That's right, Pan. It's you.
It's Pan.